Well, hi, good morning, everybody. My name is Sam. I'm a faithful follower of Jesus Christ. Very glad to be here with you this morning to talk about one of my Bible heroes. But first, why don't we pray? Would you bow your heads with me? Heavenly Father, thank you for absolutely everything. Especially thank you for everyone, and especially thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ, who saved me, who saved everybody, who saved the world, who remade the world, and showed us how to have, by his example, by his words, how to have a great life here on earth and give us a glimpse of what heaven is going to be like. For me personally, let me remember this is not a performance. This is not about me. This is my sincere desire to share what Nehemiah did for me and what you did for me through Nehemiah. In the beautiful name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. All right. Assuming this gear stays on, doesn't fall off. There we go. The Bible verse this morning is from Nehemiah 6:9. But I prayed, now strengthen my hands. The context for that Bible verse is that Nehemiah was in Jerusalem to rebuild the wall, and as he started to do that, there was opposition. And so every time he faced opposition, he did what I now do. He prayed. He didn't try to handle it on his own. He prayed. And what he prayed for was what he thought he needed, which is strengthen my hand. His dad, his father in heaven, I don't know what I'm doing. I mean, I know, but I don't know. And I know that I can't do it without you because my strength comes from you. So that's the significance of this Bible verse. Now, the next slide is very important also. It says, God alone knows the secret plans for the things he will do for the world using my hand. And what I take from that is that I know what my plans are. I know what I think I'm going to do. But sadly, I'm not God. So I don't really know what's going to happen. But if I trust God and if I follow God, he's going to put something in front of me to deal with and to take care of. So he's going to use me to do something to remake the world in the way he wants to make it. Even if it's just like the tiny grain of sand's worth of change, he's going to use me. So I have to stay flexible, and that's why I have to stay in touch with God every day. Okay, let's get into this. Jesus Christ remade the world. Jesus Christ is the ultimate bridge builder. He is the ultimate bridge for people to be with God, unseparated for eternity. Jesus Christ saved us from our sinful selves. He gave us the Holy Spirit, and he showed us through his words, his works, and his day-to-day living while he was here on earth how to have a really great life. While on earth, and it's in the Bible, Jesus did not trust men because he knows what's in our hearts, but he did trust his Father in heaven. He prayed to him constantly. He communed with him constantly. And in the book of Nehemiah, we have an example of how Jesus Christ works in the world now as he was working through Nehemiah back then. Nehemiah records the history of the third return of the Jews to Jerusalem after the captivity. And it tells about how the walls were rebuilt and how the people of Jerusalem renewed their faith. Nehemiah worked at turning around the injustice where the people lived. He brought about national repentance, reaffirmation of faith, and religious revival. When I read, I'd been reading the Bible through every year, starting, I used to be able to do math so well, 1994. Up to that point, I was a cultural Christian, meaning I knew the Bible stories. I thought Jesus was a good guy, but I wasn't born again until 1994. So much for my short-term memory also. But somewhere in 2001 to 2003, as my life was turning into morass of garbage, during my yearly reading of the Bible, I needed a hero. I was a few years into working for a law firm where I was basically left on my own with no leadership, no structure, no training, and I was in a whole two new areas of law and not a clue as to the direction for the practice. And I can tell you, nothing was going right because every time I turned around, something was going wrong. By that point, I'd been practicing for 15 years. I'd never been sued for malpractice ever. Okay, in this firm, I got sued for malpractice. It was a garbage case. I turned it around, got it dismissed, but I'd never been sued for malpractice. I really had never had any motions made against me for not doing what I'm supposed to do. It started to happen in this practice. Okay? Now, I didn't know what was going on. I didn't know how to get my life back. In retrospect, I'm glad all this garbage happened. I really am. I'd already been regularly reading the Bible, as I said, but now I started reading all the wisdom literature and taking notes on the wisdom literature. And in particular, I carefully read Proverbs from the Old Testament, James from the New Testament, Nehemiah, and Matthew, chapters 4, 5, 6, and 7. And you may recall, chapter 5 contains the Beatitudes. Really good instruction. Now, Nehemiah struck a chord. It really did. As I practiced law, the other attorneys and the ones in my practice kept doing things that caused me, to be fearful, timid, completely lacking confidence, and hating walking into the courtroom. Those are not qualities you want in your lawyer. Okay? And I knew that was not me. I went into law to help people live better lives, sincerely. Started law school at 30. I want to help people live better lives. And I thought that law was the way to do that. Now, this is before I became born again, when I realized Jesus Christ is the way to have people live better lives. But I thought law could do it. My key assumptions, and these crack me up as I read them, my key assumptions about law going into it were all people are rational, right? That all lawyers would be professional and present their cases straightforwardly, okay? And that all legal issues would be decided fairly, justly, and correctly, okay? Let me make it clear, and you'll never hear these words from a judge, but and I'm not a judge. I was wrong. Many people want what they want, and they don't care about the consequences. Many lawyers are untrustworthy, bullies, and downright criminal in their actions. Okay? Justice? In my experience, and you ask five lawyers, they'll give you a different version, but in my experience, justice has nothing to do with what goes on in a courthouse. Nothing at all. Okay, so much for my mindset. I'm this naive guy who really wanted to change the world. Nehemiah went to Jerusalem to rebuild the wall. Here's the context. Without walls and for protection around your city 2,400 years ago, you couldn't really function as a society and you couldn't prosper. A city with broken walls revealed a defeated people. If your walls were broken down, you were a defeated group of people. The Jews who had returned to their homeland, thus, were both in unsafe conditions, okay, and they were humiliated at living in a destroyed city. The rebuilding of the walls would show God's blessing upon his people again. Rebuilding of the walls was an important sign to the enemies of Israel. Rebuilding the walls showed that God was with his people. And upon completion of the walls, Nehemiah wrote in Nehemiah 6:16, when all our enemies heard about this, that the walls had been rebuilt, all the surrounding nations were afraid and lost the self-confidence because they realized that this work had been done with the help of our God. Okay? So they were making a pretty big statement to the world that they lived in by rebuilding these walls. Rebuilding that wall was a really big deal. Defending a criminal in court is a really big deal. Handling somebody's divorce is a really big deal. You have got to get this right. Let's go to photo number one. This is an aerial view of the wall. Okay, this is the, as far as I know, this is the Jerusalem wall back in the days of Nehemiah. This thing is massive. At the top of the slide, that's where the temple is. Bottom of the slide, various gates. But you can see how massive this thing is, both in terms of its length and its breadth and how high it is. And can you go to the next slide, John? Okay, this is a picture of the wall taken today. This thing is massive. This is very, very tall. You can see for perspective, lower left-hand corner, there's a person down there. Okay? That's how big this wall is. It was broken down. Okay? So what's the story? Nehemiah's living in Persia. Some people come from Jerusalem to talk to him and say, our wall is broken down, we're in trouble. So what does Nehemiah do? He prays, goes to the Persian king Artaxerxes, and with support of Artaxerxes, Nehemiah gives up a comfortable and important position in Persia, and he travels to Jerusalem. Nehemiah is made governor of the region. Once he gets to Jerusalem, he prays, he organizes the people of Jerusalem, and then they start rebuilding the wall. Now, as the rebuilding of the wall began, and this is where the account started to get my attention, as the rebuilding of the wall began, other leaders in the region who would benefit from a weak Jerusalem began their game playing to prevent the wall from being built. The first tactic they used was sarcasm and ridicule against Nehemiah to stop the work. Nehemiah 2:19, it's recorded, them saying, what is this you're doing? They asked. Are you rebelling against the king? Incidentally, Nehemiah had brought with him from King Artaxerxes a letter which Nehemiah gave to all the governors in the region for them to give Nehemiah safe transit through the region, and this is probably what really bent him out of shape, to give Nehemiah building materials to rebuild the wall they didn't want rebuilt. Okay. So they knew he wasn't rebelling against the king. They'd already been informed what was going on. So they're trying to spook the leader. Second tactic. Then the local leaders threatened violence. No, strike that. The same group of leaders then ridiculed the Jews' ability to actually get the work done, saying sarcastically that a fox could scramble through the work that you've done and knock it all down. So now they're attacking the competency of Nehemiah's team to get the work done, trying to undermine them, trying to undermine Nehemiah's confidence in what was going to go on. Okay? Nehemiah prayed and stayed rebuilding the wall. The third tactic, this is where they ratcheted up a whole bunch. The local leaders threatened violence against those living and working in Jerusalem, and they threatened to stir up trouble against Jerusalem. Okay, so now it's going to be, okay, we're going to beat you guys up, we're going to kill you, you're not going to get this work done unless you stop working on the wall. So Nehemiah prayed, and he took half the people, half the men, and armed them. The other half of the men did the work. Okay, that's how you respond as a leader. We're not stopping. We're going to go. Things changed on us. Okay, grab your swords, boys. You grab your swords. You grab your shovels and pick up some rocks, and let's get this thing done. Fourth tactic. The local leaders told Nehemiah they wanted to personally meet with him at a place of their choosing, outside of Nehemiah, to discuss, we don't know, it doesn't say. Now, I can imagine, if you're in somebody else's house, you're in somebody else's territory, and they have all their boys around you, okay, they can intimidate you. And my suspicion is that what they wanted to do was neutralize Nehemiah by trying to talk him out of it by bullying him or try to kill him. And we read that later on in the New Testament when Paul is invited to go to meet with the Jewish leaders outside of Jerusalem, and because there was a plot to kill him at the time. Okay, so Nehemiah said no. The work required his attendance, so he prayed and they kept on working on the wall. The fifth tactic. The local leaders sent a representative to Nehemiah with a letter they had written to King Artaxerxes, and they were alleging to King Artaxerxes that Nehemiah was plotting a revolt. And that is why Nehemiah wanted Jerusalem to be fortified with a wall. This is a tactic to take legal action unless you stop doing what you're doing. I'm going to go to the highest power in the world, King Artaxerxes, and he's going to deal with you. Okay? I guess they'd forgotten about the letters from Artaxerxes explaining why Nehemiah was there. Nehemiah called the local leaders out on their ridiculous claims and their lies. He said nothing of the sort was going on, and he kept working on the wall. Sixth tactic, and this is only six, so for those of you keeping notes, number six is the last one. The local leaders had one of their sympathizers inside Jerusalem come to Nehemiah and say, look, Nehemiah, I want to meet you at the temple behind closed doors because the local leaders are coming to kill you. They weren't coming to kill Nehemiah, as far as I can tell. They were trying to make Nehemiah run and hide to make him look like a coward so that the people in Jerusalem would lose faith in him, would lose confidence in him, would stop following him, and would stop working on the wall. Nehemiah said, no, a man like me does not run away and hide. They kept working on the wall. The repairs to that massive wall were completed in 52 days, less than 2 months, 52 days. Okay? The work was done by hand. You don't see any Caterpillar tractors and bulldozers moving that stuff around. It's by hand and by mostly unskilled labor. Okay, so I want to take this congregation, let's make us instead of 200 people, let's make us 1,500 people, and we're going to rebuild that wall in less than 2 months by hand. Everybody with me? Yeah. That's what they were facing. That's at the personal level. That's what they were facing. They got it done. The takeaway. For me, it was Nehemiah's approach to life. His approach was, let's get this done. Nehemiah's relationship with God. He prayed all the time. His attitude towards others. Look, say what you want to say. I'm attending to my priorities, not yours. And I'm going to get my work done. And the clarity of his vision. I know what needs to be done, and I'm not going to stop until it's finished. Those are the words that I needed to hear as a lawyer. Nehemiah stuck to doing what he needed to do. He ignored the threats and he got on with the work. Nehemiah was not shut down by the games of the local leaders. He didn't spend his time refuting or explaining or implying. He trusted, he trusted God. He prayed a lot. And he treated the opposition's tactics as the garbage that it was. And he kept building the wall. Stay focused, keep at it. After reading and considering this first portion of the book in Nehemiah, and this covers about the first 6 or 7 chapters out of about 11 or 12, I started to see a bigger picture for my life. And in particular, I started to see what was truly going on with the other lawyers I was dealing with and with the people in my law firm who were calling the shots. There's an expression that says, I can't cope with something unless I acknowledge its reality. I wanted to believe people were rational and nice and good. I had to cope with the reality that that ain't so. And I'm not saying everybody, but I had to cope with the reality that that ain't so. Okay? I can't cope with something unless I acknowledge its reality. When I'm looking at the whole picture, I take the first step towards a more manageable life. Okay? Nehemiah opened my eyes to human behavior, and I had to accept that people will do what they will do without regards to my needs or feelings for that matter, and they wouldn't care about right or wrong. Nehemiah, by writing what he wrote nearly 2,500 years ago, saved my life, my dignity, my self-respect. And God used his hand to save me 2,500 years later. How awesome is God? I was not crazy. I was not incompetent. I was not a fool. I was certainly not a slave. Nehemiah started me on the bridge to getting back to where I originally was as a human being, getting back to where what God had created me to be. And he started to prepare me for the massive storms that would come into my life in 2010, 2013, and 2015. Thank God it started. Now, I like solving puzzles. I'm really good at taking things that start off looking chaotic and confusing and eventually making them into something that's orderly and comprehensive or comprehensible. But I don't like playing games. I really don't. Most games have man-made rules, okay, which are not connected with reality. Man-made rules not connected to reality. Think of the game Candyland. Notwithstanding, my brother Bob used to stack the deck so he'd get the double blues or purples to win the game in 3 shots. But Candyland is man-made rules not connected with reality. Think of checkers. Okay? Think of golf. Okay? Think of tennis. I think of the practice of law. No offense, Roland, but I think of the practice of law. Man-made rules that in many ways have no connection with reality. I will take what's real. I was at that last firm for so long because I needed a paycheck. I was terrified of what would happen if I didn't have a job. But at that point in my life, I was done with the BS and the games and the law practice I was in. And without much of a nudge, I left. Okay? Here's the picture when I left. I walked away with $2,000, 8 cases, and a laptop computer that I paid for. Incidentally, Natalie and I had just bought a house. And I can tell you, I have never once to this day regretted walking out of that place. I never have. Nehemiah was faithful to God. Nehemiah relied on God. And God was Nehemiah's source of power, confidence, and clarity. I have turned my life and will over to Jesus Christ. He is my source of serenity, peace, confidence, and clarity. Nehemiah stayed focused on his work. He included God in everything. Nehemiah prayed regularly. While on earth, Jesus Christ stayed focused on his work and prayed regularly. Both men knew what was in a man's heart, but they themselves, Nehemiah and Jesus Christ, did the right thing. That is their character. The life of Nehemiah shows a part of what it means to have a life with character. The life of Jesus Christ shows a complete picture of what living with character is all about. As Oswald Chambers, excuse me, so well stated it, never look for right in another man, but never cease to be right yourself. Never look for justice, but never cease to give it. Now, since I am relatively intelligent and capable of learning from successful people who have been on this earth before me, I work every day to stay focused on my work, to be right with people, to act justly, and to include Jesus Christ in everything. And I pray regularly. By the way, I'm sensitive to looking out for, number one, being ridiculed, my team being ridiculed, or their competency being questioned, threats, subtle or otherwise, to my person, property, integrity, family, or team, threats, subtle or otherwise, to take legal action against me or against my need to belong to be or be liked, to being pulled away from my priorities by somebody trying to convince me to do their work, and being set up to look like a fool or being set up to have my courage and resolve questioned by my team or by myself. As I said at the beginning, God alone knows the secret plan for the things he will do for the world using my hand. Nehemiah built a wall for protection and dignity, but it was also a bridge for the Jews to have a life again and to live in their part of the world with equality with their neighbors. No longer an oppressed people, they could be treated as equals. Nehemiah remade their world. Jesus Christ remade our world. He remade my world. Jesus Christ is ready to remake everyone's world. There is no pattern you can't break. I can't change my past, but I can change my path. And with Jesus Christ, there is a step forward. So step away from your squabbles with reality, face reality, and accept Jesus Christ wholeheartedly as your Lord and Savior. And then watch God remake the world with you. So, in closing, pray, stay focused, love your neighbors, and lock your front door when you come here to church. Thank you, Nehemiah, and thank you. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for everything. I'm grateful for your Son. I'm grateful for you. I'm grateful for your Bible. I'm grateful that I do have a path forward. Without you, I would be lost in my sin. I'd be lost to the world, and I wouldn't be worth anything. You've given me my dignity and my sanity and my willingness through the Holy Spirit to change and to serve you. In the beautiful name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Thank you, everybody.
Amen. Thank you, Sam.
Thank you.